Hello, welcome everybody. We're going to get started here right away to give Mark as much time as he needs for this session. You can find your notes for this session starting on page 28 of the books that you received. Want to tell you a little bit about Mark before we get started. If you were in the last session, you heard a little bit about him, and hopefully he'll have some time to tell you more about himself and his connection with Teen Challenge. But Mark is the program director for the Ascent Recovery Residences in Joplin, Missouri, and he currently serves on the advisory committee for Ozarks Teen Challenge. He also serves on the Missouri Credentialing Board as the vice president, ethics chair, and he does extensive training and trains trainers. So he's got a lot of good information, good experience to share with us, and some demonstrations, as I'm sure you've been a little bit curious as to why he's handing out rope. So ask a lot of questions. He likes to interact with everyone, so don't be shy. Ask questions, make comments, and let's welcome Mark.
Come to class, you get a gift. So what we're going to talk about today is kind of learning the ropes. And the reason I call it that is because I really want you to see the importance of developing this long-term network of people. Because one of the challenges that we have is, although we may have a solution, we oftentimes don't necessarily lay the foundation for that long-term solution be carried out when people get where they're going. Do you guys agree with that? And one of the hardest parts is transition. So we're going to talk about some of that. We're going to talk about some of the impact that it has on the family. But most of it is going to be the demonstration. As we build this network, moving from a network of addiction to a network of recovery. And the reason that we have to do that is one of the first things we do with almost everybody who comes into any of our programs is we take things away from them. Right? We tell them, you can't contact this, you can't go here, you can't go there. So you got to give up all of your people, places, things, situations, and events. Which basically translates as no fun. Right? The other thing it translates as you now are a thief and a robber. You have just taken from them because you have not offered them anything that has the same kind of value. That makes sense? So we have to offer more because they're giving up more. And that's not to say that Jesus isn't enough. But we have a responsibility to ensure that that path that they are going on is the best opportunity for them to succeed. Do you guys agree with that? So before I get started any further with that, though.
Are you supposed to be recording?
Oh, I am. Thank you.
Yes, I'm supposed to be recording. Okay. The way I got acquainted with Teen Challenge started, first of all, whenever I was 18 years old and wanted to become a part of Teen Challenge and went up to Kansas City to talk to their director because I thought that I would be a good fit for Teen Challenge, not as a client or a student, but as an employee. Now, there was a problem with that. I was still drinking. Okay, but my arrogance and my ego had me believe that I could go up there and do all that. And then I had 40 years in the wilderness, according to Michael Butasi, where God had to teach me a lot of lessons about my ego and my arrogance. And in regards to that, about the time I learned, then he brought Derek into my life. When Derek walked into my office, and that was 2.5 years ago, something like that. So about 2.5 years ago, and since that moment, I've been involved with Ozarks Teen Challenge. So 40 years in the wilderness brought me back. During that time, I learned a lot of things, learned a lot of ways to humble myself, and experienced a number of humiliations. Any of you guys familiar with humiliation? Yeah, it sucks. Why do we choose that? That's crazy. But we continue to choose humiliation over humility. So what I do like, though, is interaction. I don't like to be the only one up here talking. And there's a couple of reasons for that. One is, although I have a lot to offer, I believe that each and every one of you also have a lot to offer. And the members that are in here need to hear what you have. So if you have something, feel free. I am not worried about getting through my slides. If you want the slides, all you got to do is contact me. I'll be glad to send them to you. Okay? I'm more interested in making sure that when you walk out of here, you have some solutions to what you may need. Okay? So when we're talking about learning the ropes, one of my favorite scriptures is Psalms 103, 1 through 5. And it's, "Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and forget not all his benefits, who forgives all our iniquities and heals all our diseases, who redeems your life from destruction, who crowns you with loving kindness and tender mercies, who satisfies your mouth with good things, so that your mouth is renewed like the eagles." So my question, when I read that, how did you read or how did you interpret the word "who"? Did you see that as God? When I first read that, I saw it as a question. Who forgives? And it changed my interaction with that scripture, because it led me on a journey to where I found out who forgives all of my iniquities, who can heal all my diseases, who redeems my life from destruction. But if I hadn't asked that question, I think it would have just been scripture. Does that make sense? So that was a big part of why this became my favorite scripture, in that I had to ask that question. He forgives all my sins and heals all my diseases. So what does self-will look like? Do you guys know what self-will is? I mean, we've only heard a couple of sessions on self-will, right? Especially this morning. Amazing. I loved assignment versus agenda. Unfortunately, I tend to be one of those agenda people. Okay? But what does self-will look like? It starts with self. What else does self-will look like?
Doing our own thing.
Doing our own thing, okay. What does it look like to somebody else?
Selfish.
Selfish.
Prideful.
Prideful.
I'm the man.
Okay. Okay. So are those problems? What's the problem with self-will? Are you asking the question, or is it the same? The statement is that it's the same, okay? What's the problem with self-will?
Leaves God out. Okay.
Why does it leave God out?
There's no room for
him. There's no room for him, okay? Is will an important part of our lives? Absolutely. But we need to be walking in God's will. So we can go do our own thing, which is what these guys are doing, or we can traverse the wicked world with faith and hope and confidence and faith and obedience and those things that God has for us. How many of you guys have ever seen the movie Patch Adams? How many of you guys like the movie? It is absolutely one of my favorite movies. And one of the reasons is this statement right here. When Hunter Patch Adams says, "You treat a disease, you win or lose. You treat a person, I guarantee you, you'll win no matter what the outcome is. We are not in the disease business. We are in the people business. And we are ministers to people that have problems. And when we treat people, we win. And so do they, no matter what the outcome. My point is, and in that is this. If someone leaves, you did not fail. We never fail. What do you think of that statement? If you are treating the person, we never fail. Because for whatever the amount of time was that person was in our lives, if you treated that individual with the grace, the mercy that you in turn had received previously, you didn't lose. You didn't fail. Our problem sometimes, believe it or not, is self-will in that agenda that he talked about today, where we want to keep them longer than God has them in store for us. But we never fail. Why do we never fail? Because we serve the one who never fails. Does that make sense, guys? So as we go through this, keep that in mind, that we are not given a good life or a bad life. We are given a life, and it's up to us to make it good or bad. How many of you guys have seen people take a bad life and continue to choose a bad life in spite of all the prayers, of all the concerns, and literally of all of the travailing that we've done over an individual to still continue to do a bad life? They still have that power of choice. The challenge that we have is we need to understand that anybody who comes our way comes in with a deficit. They come in with a hole in their life. Now, what's the problem with a hole in your life? Say again? It has to be filled up. This is not a want-to thing. This is a need. We feel empty. We feel void. We must fill it with something. And whatever's available oftentimes is what we fill it with. Good, bad, or indifferent. Okay? So when we start looking at deficits that a lot of individuals have, some individuals have financial deficits. They may come from poor families. They may come from all sorts of different economic areas. They may not have a clue how to manage finances. You guys ever met any of those guys? Okay. Some of us have to marry somebody to manage our finances because we still suck at it. Okay? Some of them have emotional deficits. What kind of emotional deficits would you think somebody would have? What kind of emotional deficits?
Abuse.
Okay. What else?
Isolation.
Post-trauma.
Immaturity.
Immaturity.
Growing up without a parent.
Neglect. The number one emotional deficit. When dad couldn't say or demonstrate, I love you. That's an emotional deficit. When mom was absent because she was a single mom and she had to work, no matter how hard she tried, there's that neglect that takes place. The problem with that emotional deficit is it's unseen. It's invisible for a long, long time. Okay? But it's still a deficit. They may have deficits in supports. They may not have the kind of support that they need to function well, to succeed in recovery, to be the man or woman that they're designed to be. They may not have those supports. They may just have basic needs. They've been living on the streets for however long as a result of their addiction. They don't even have a place to live. But you know what the problem is with basic needs and deficits? How many of you guys have ever heard of Maslow's hierarchy? Okay? The problem with Maslow's hierarchy is all of his testing and all of his research was done on healthy people. Who do we deal with? Healthy people don't show up on our doorsteps. An addiction shatters Maslow's hierarchy. Those basic needs are totally different for the addict than what they are for Joe Normal. So where we need support, where do they find support? In their dealers. Their basic need is not food and clothing. Their basic need is the drug. That's all they need. That's all they care about. And we try to teach them about those basic needs, but we got to keep in mind that that hierarchy is shattered. And repiecing it in a healthy fashion can be really challenging for a lot of people. One, because they may never have even seen what healthy looks like. And secondly, as we try to build it for them, when in fact they need to build that for themselves, we just guide. Okay? They may have a deficit spiritually. Well, duh. Addiction's a spiritual illness, right? Based on a void that we have, where we haven't found a God big enough to fill that void yet, so we searched another one. And we found drugs. And it didn't fill it either, but guess what we kept doing? Trying to make sure it was big enough. That's why we tried more and more and more and tried different and different and different. They may have a deficit with things. They may also have a deficit in happiness because of a belief of what happiness is. So when you're dealing with anybody who's coming across your doorstep, guess what, guys? You're dealing with somebody in deficit. Agreed? Sometimes those deficits are big. Why do you believe they have these deficits? Could be the way they were raised. Why else do you believe they have these deficits?
Some could be genetic.
Can very well be genetic. Others? Escape? You know why we have this deficit? It was created in us. That deficit was created. Why? To seek God. Problem is, we've tried to fill it with all kinds of things. There are two choices we have to make in this life: accept life as it is or accept responsibility for changing it. And spirituality, I like this. We are not human beings on a spiritual journey. We are spiritual beings on a human journey. So how many of you guys would like to start breaking some chains by learning the ropes? Okay. So when we do that, we're going to develop two networks. One is the network of addiction, and then we're going to develop this network of support. Okay? So it's going to be real hard for you to see this. In fact, I'm going to have my glasses to see some of it. But to get it started, I have a couple of volunteers. Actually, I have 16 volunteers. But Joey has agreed to be my addict. Come on up, Joey. Now, what was your drug of choice, Joey?
What got me in trouble was alcohol, but I did a little bit of everything.
Okay, so your drug of choice was everything?
Yes.
Okay. So I need somebody to play everything. Somebody with a rope. Yeah, you're going to need it. She's going to be everything. Are you sure you're not an enabler? Because that's what enablers think.
Probably.
Okay, so what I need you to do is to put those on your wrist, kind of like handcuffs, only in front. Okay? And I need one end of yours. If you would put that one there.
Okay.
Yeah. and that one on that hand.
Okay.
So you're kind of stuck right now, right? Okay. So I need to tell you the rules. Because as you know, everything in life has rules. Everything has rules. Adam and Eve couldn't follow one. We can't follow 68,000 of them. Just don't do it. But everything has rules. So the first rule is you can't take the ropes off your wrist or have anybody else take them off. They have to stay on your wrist. Okay? You can't untie my ropes or have anybody else untie them. You can't damage my ropes. No chewing, cutting, burning, shooting, anything like that. Okay? And you can't damage yourself or others. Especially me. Okay? But what I want you to do is to get apart. And the reason I'm saying that is this. How many times have you just been told, well, just quit? Okay, so it didn't work. Why didn't it work? I thought you knew what you were doing.
I tried. You tried.
It does work. Yeah, there's a way out. I wouldn't put you in a spot where you couldn't get out. I've got some witnesses back here that say it can be done. Who thought that was almost? Come on up and help. I'm going to let you come on up and direct. Okay, so you and your drug. Now, keep in mind, who's he listening to?
Everything.
To your drug. Your drug is just
bossy.
Just taken over. Okay, so now we have somebody else who's going to come in, who's going to try to navigate them through this. She's going to help Joey.
Okay, Joey.
You can tell him whatever. How many of us have ever felt that way? Well, you said they were close.
I know, I was just being positive.
Oh. Okay. Well, your drug does great dances. I'm impressed, okay?
Yeah, I'm just kind of chilling.
Which is why you used, right?
Yeah.
You're not supposed to say that, though, right?
Sure.
I'm trying to help you.
No, you can say you can't help him. Because if you don't know what to do.
Right. Yeah, I have no idea.
He's a lazy addict. So do you want somebody else to try to help you out?
Yeah.
Okay, pick.
Someone give it a shot.
Oh, you gotta stay up here. Somebody else want to try to help him out? Why don't you guys want to try to help? I thought you guys were caring individuals. You don't care that he's stuck?
What are the rules again?
You can't take the ropes off your wrist or have anybody else take them off. You can't untie the ropes or have anybody else untie them. You can't damage them, and you can't damage yourself or others. No. And that's because I'm cheap and I don't want to have to buy new ropes. I don't know. Who are you going to pray to? Is there a rope god out there?
Can we ask my buddy Max?
Sure. Max, do you know how to get him out? Okay. Because here's where you're going to be blessed, Joey. You're only going to have to do this for a couple of minutes this time. And then when I bring you back up, you're up here for a while. But you'll get untied because I only have a short period of time. I don't. So. Max got nothing. So if you don't know what to do, what should you do? Two people you asked to help can't. What should you do?
We need to go to church.
I can tell you there are pastors in here who probably are not going to be able to help you out of this. Okay, who in here knows actually how to get you out of this? Okay. Who else? Yeah. So what kind of help do you want?
The right kind.
Your drug is still telling you what to do, dude. You want to be free from your drug. Okay, why?
Because I don't want to live trapped.
Why not? Yeah, I'll be glad to do it. It's not magic, guys. It really isn't. It's just basic problem solving. Go on and stay up here for just a second. But yeah, I'll show you how to do it. My point is, all of these people out there are asking the wrong people for help. And the group that they're asking for help is their drug of choice, their supplier, they're going after money, they're involved in crime, their families who can't help. They're asking all the wrong people. You are in a position to be the right people. But you got to know what you're doing. Because just praying them through may not necessarily be enough. Does that make sense? And just like you kept asking the question, how did you do that? That's the question they have. How did you do it? So now I'll teach you, okay? So the first thing is, did you see them dance in this whole big problem? Okay? What do you think their chances are if they are at home just trying to dance in this problem? Zero. So what we're going to do is we're going to make the problem smaller. Put your arm down, okay? So now instead of having that whole life to deal with, we bring them into a center. And we have them, and we can focus on a problem, right? You dig into the problem. You pull it out. You look it over. You let it go, and you walk away. Okay? You can go on a step if you want, Joey. And you too. We're going to get to this next one. But does that make sense? When we are dealing with people, they want answers. And we have to have it. And when we don't have that answer, we go to somebody who does. And don't allow ourselves to believe that we have all of the answers that that individual may need. Because that's one of our challenges always, thinking that we're all that. Right? Okay? So in this whole network, I don't know if it is it in your handout? Is that whole network listed? It may not be. Okay. But these are just some. But keep in mind that this network is designed to support their lifestyle. Whether that lifestyle is involved with drugs, whether it's involved with any other life-controlling problem. They develop a network to support that. Okay? When they come in, we're telling them they got to get rid of all of that. Now, no matter how bad this is, this may be all they've got, and you're telling them they've got to dump that. Can you see where you might have an adversarial relationship at the beginning? Why they might be a little bit resistant to what you're offering until you can prove the true value of what you're offering? And the way we prove that true value is how? How do you prove you're real?
Being consistent.
Being there. Okay? Being available. Being accessible. Being true. Being a person of integrity. It's all kinds of ways. Okay? And we have to do that. But that's not enough. Whether we like it or not, and we can live on a spiritual plane for a long time, but when the rubber meets the road, we've got to have certain structures in place or people fall. And that's what I want to build up here. And I want to kind of show you what that is. And yes, it's going to be a little small too. But we're going to build that recovery network. So Joey, come on back up. Okay? Okay, so Joey's still our addict. And Joey gets to stand up here for a while we build this network. Okay? And then your job is to tell me when you are comfortable enough that you're willing to sit on it. Okay? Okay, so first off, is I need somebody to play mutual help groups. Yeah, mutual help may be Celebrate Recovery, maybe any number of different kinds of self-help groups, maybe AA, NA, somewhere in there. You provide that connection in a group setting. So I need somebody to play the group. Come on up. Okay, so Ralph's going to play the group. Okay, so the next person I need is somebody to play church. Not play church, but play the church, okay? Put them on your wrists, kind of like handcuffs. Okay, I just need one. That's fine. They don't fit. Your hands are too big, dude. Okay. Okay, so the next person I need is treatment or a discipleship program or whatever, because chances are people are not coming to you first off. They've been to multiple treatment episodes, okay? So Wes gets to play treatment or discipler. So now remember, you're going to have to tell me whenever you get comfortable to sit on this.
I do.
Just put it on your wrist and... you know, it's hard to navigate whenever I'm playing with a microphone, too. Okay, spread out, guys. You comfortable sitting on that yet?
Nope.
What? I mean, hey, you got mutual support. You got the church. You got treatment. That's not enough? Oh, man. Okay, so now we need an accountability partner for him. Who wants to come on up? Time flies when you're having fun. Especially when you play. Okay. Are you ready yet? Okay, chances are he doesn't know how to live though, right? So he needs some coping skills. I need somebody to play coping skills. Three more. Okay, well he's defined how many more he needs. Anybody see self-will going into that one? Three more and you'd be all right. Okay. Now, here's the problem is you get to play sanctions, incentives, and motivations. Ooh. You still think three is going to do it? That's an awful lot of gap. There's an awful lot of places you can fall through, and you're little. Now, if we had Wes in here, One more. Okay. So now what we're going to have is, let's see, support for lifestyle changes, since he thinks he only needs one more. Come on up, Mark. You're probably, why are you changing your mind now?
Because I'm an addict. Getting close to graduation day, he's getting nervous.
That's exactly it. There is apprehension. There is a lot of apprehension whenever you start looking at just how real this is. Absolutely. Okay? So chances are he's going to need some case management. He's going to need somebody to help lay the way for him. Come on up, Derek. You guys are not as encouraging as I had hoped. Okay? You think he's going to need new friends? Okay, I need somebody to play his new friend. Come on up. So I need new friends, and what kind of barriers might he face whenever he goes home? Job, stuff like that? So I need somebody to play removal of barriers also. Let me have one of them. Are you feeling more comfortable yet?
Yeah.
Why?
There are still a lot of gaps.
If you laid on it, you are a lazy addict. Gee whiz. Yeah, you're not the first one who's been in denial. Okay. What else might he need? Can you think of anything else that he might need just real quick? So what I've got is ongoing assessment. Does he need to have an ongoing assessment? Somebody who can kind of keep track of what's moving up, what's moving down for him? Okay, I need somebody to play assessment. Come on up. Are you about ready? Oh, he's more than ready now. Let me slide in here, guys, and we'll get this going since I've only got 5 minutes left.
That's another
Excuse me. Okay, so my point is the more of this that you have in place, the more comfortable he's going to be, okay? The less apprehension, the more confidence. The less apprehension, you guys supporting him? Okay, good.
Time to celebrate.
Oh, was it? Is today your birthday? Is today your birthday? Guys, we got to sing happy birthday to Joey. Come on, guys. Thanks, Joy. Give the rest of the guys a hand. Okay. I'll untie him. But by the way, I can get, if he was tied in this mess, yeah. I can get him out.
Can you get him out?
Yeah.
Let's try it. Go ahead, Joey. Jump back on there. I'm good.
He's good? Okay, so does that kind of make some sense for you? You have to have that foundation laid when they get ready to leave. And you can't wait till the last minute to get that laid. It's a process from the moment that they get there to the time that they leave, making sure that those things are in place. Because if you wait till the last month, what happens? A lot of things fall by the wayside in a month. Lots of things. And although they may not demonstrate any level of apprehension up to that point, that month point, they start getting really apprehensive about going home, about what's really out there for them. Okay? But above all, develop protective factors, those things that are going to keep them protected, because they are most vulnerable the first 96 to 120 hours after they get home. They'll be protected for the first 24 to 36 because they're not going to go out. After that, they find themselves gravitating to high-risk behaviors. Okay? There's only one difference between those who succeed and those who don't. Those who succeed actually believe that they can, and they have a belief in a supreme being that can help them. Okay? Questions? Please. 30 years of experience.
Okay,
what she asked was, where did my stats come from in the 96 to 120 hour? Just from experience, 30 some odd years. Any other questions? Please.
For building all this network and stuff, you said not to the last month, we kind of tried to get a level 4 the last 3 months. You think that's long enough?
I think 3 months is okay, as long as they're engaged in it. But from the moment they come in, you need to assess what it is they're going to start needing on the end and start making sure that foundation's laid.
Can I point out that, like, please, adolescents and families, they need to start thinking about that
early. Yeah.
We start on day one.
Yeah, it's huge. When they're going to a family. What he said is, when adolescents are involved or families, you need to start at day one. You guys hear that? The family has to be active in that prevention plan. Okay. Anything else? Ladies and gentlemen, thank you very much.